Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Oh, I almost didn't make it. I ran
it
into
happened.
I was, sorry about that.
That's okay, Hal. I was going to start the show without you.
I was walking.
You have toilet paper on your tennis shoe.
I was walking Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, who requires just a lot of activity. She's one of those dogs that you wouldn't expect for being all of 10 pounds needing to be stimulated a lot.
She's hyper. She's very active.
She needs toys.
Mm-hmm.
She comes to you and she sits right in front of you and she looks at you and gives you these little puppy eyes like, play with me. And then she'll bat her toy, and then she'll look at you again and go, play with me. And so that's what I was doing. It was paramountly more important than being here because, you know, you don't turn a dog away when it wants to play with you.
Exactly.
That's the best thing you could give them is your time. But I did make it in time, and Ladybug is now pooped out, and she's ready to take a nap. She is a Jack Russell Terrier mix, and this particular breed requires a little bit of attention. They're kind of high maintenance.
They are. They're very active little dogs.
But cute. Cute is all get out.
Cute and smart.
Now, when you pick your next dog, are you going to pick it by how cute it is? Or are you going to think about some other factors, like how smart it is, how much stimulation it needs, how many walks a day does it need?
How many times a day do you have to wipe out their folds?
Yeah. Well, with bulldogs, you deal with bulldogs. You rescue bulldogs. I don't even think about wiping folds except on me. But
oh golly, we also clean tails.
You do clean tails,
tail pockets. Yeah,
you got to do that.
You picked up on some of the breeds that have to have a lot of maintenance. Also, when it comes to clipping their hair or brushing them, I'm in that boat. And
if you're planning on picking your dog just by how cute it is, listen to today's show. We have an expert on who's going to help you meet your breed. This is especially great if you haven't chosen your dog yet. You're thinking of getting one. She'll tell you what kind of breeds might work for you. And if it's too late, you've already chosen your dog, what can you do? She'll tell us all about that in just a few minutes. Kim Brophy, she's an award-winning canine behavior consultant. And she's devoting several minutes to talk with you today right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
I ran across this survey that came out from the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, and you're thinking, oh, no, it's not. This is a great story because they interviewed pet parents and veterinarians. One of the great questions they asked is, what do vets feed their pets?
What do vets feed their pets? Dr. Debbie, what do you feed your pets?
Well, I have one who has a special dietary need, so she's on a hypoallergenic prescription diet, and then my other guy is just on a basic, dog food.
Is it kibble?
Really special.
Dry.
Yes,
it
both,
is dry.
Both dry. Yeah, they're both on dry food.
That's
well,
interesting.
We'll find out how normal you are, Dr. Debbie.
That's on the way. Stick around for that. And we go to Moika. Is it Moika? Am I pronouncing your name right?
You're pronouncing it correctly.
How are you doing today?
Oh, well, been better.
You've been better. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, oh, no, it's just a bad one. That's what I call her. It has gotten worse again.
Oh, no.
What I did.
Oh, well, tell us the story. What's going on?
I was a failed foster, and I knew when I got her that she was a little snappy and nervous, but she was okay as a foster. Of course, they were separate from my other dog, who was 7 years older and blind, and at the time, that's the only problem she had. So, failed foster, I decided to keep her, and she started growling when she was on the couch with me, when she was on the bed with me, and then I heard, oh, nope, put her down, don't let her up there without your permission. So, I did that, and they were okay for, I'd say, a good year or two.
Okay.
Recently, I'm working longer. My son, who used to take them out during the day, he's working, so he's not able to do it. The blind dog has now got tons of other problems. So in the morning, I'm waking up, I'm giving her three medications, orally, three medications, you know, in her eye. And then the same thing at night, too. So I guess she's getting more attention or something. I don't know. But now the failed foster is just, she's growling, she's lunging every time she walks near her.
So if the older dog walks near the foster dog, that's when she is attacking, or vice versa?
Yeah.
When? Okay. And is she attacking her when you're applying the medications at that time?
No, she's, it's just when she's walking by us, they're laying on the, if she's laying on the pad on her bed and she's walking around, she's now in the habit of just circling. And it's really kind of distressing to see her just walk and not lay down for a few minutes.
But if your older dog is, so
she'll growl. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds like this has been a complicated situation for a while. And sometimes when there is a health change in one pet, it can alter the dynamics in the household. So, say, for instance, if your dog suddenly became blind, that can make the foster dog very unsettled. Because sometimes pets with disabilities, whether they don't hear, don't see well, or if they have mobility issues, their movements can be a bit erratic and not the typical behavior cues that they use to read and say, okay, you know, this dog's coming up to me, he's not a threat to me. So that can be altered. So you need to be very vigilant when you have a pet that is having health issues, because that can definitely trigger an aggressive bout. So if your foster dog has a problem with the other dog, we have two things that we would want to do. One, I would never leave these two alone, unattended.
Okay.
The risk of injury, if you're not around, it could be substantial. Now, there are some dogs that the aggressive bouts may be more when the human is around. And in those cases, then we want to really work very hard reaffirming those good behaviors, those deferential behaviors. So we used to say that, you know, we always reward the dominant dog. And that's not the case. We don't reward dominance in the sense of anxiety or aggression. What we do want to reward is we want to reward calm behaviors and kind of use that as a marker that this, you're going to get affection or you're going to get treats if you're behaving in a calm way. So if we start to see any visual cues that either dog is becoming aggressive, you know, we've got very stiff body posture, ears are back, the tail is held high up. In the one case of your one dog, if we have direct eye contact, those can be clues to you that we have an anxious dog and you have the potential for a bomb to go off. You need to redirect that dog and show them into a down, a sit, a calm posture, and then reward that. So that puts a lot of challenge in your shoulders because you're going to have to be foreseeing those kind of episodes. But there are often problems we'll see with aggression when they have to go through a physical space, a hallway, going through a door. And that, too, you need to anticipate that and make sure you maintain physical control of both dogs during that time or to assist so that we don't have an altercation in that situation.
Because I don't know. I think the other one who's blind, I think she's losing her hearing too. I used to come home, they would both run to me. Now the blind one kind of just is laying on her bed and not getting up until I go over to her and say, I'm home. So I'm like, okay, this is a problem. She's losing her hearing, she's lost her sight, and now this dog is attacking her.
Yeah, well, that's terrifying. I mean, if you couldn't see and you can't hear well, and then something comes out and nails you, that's a horrible thing to go through. So I think you really, this is where you need to be able to physically separate these guys and supervisor interactions. And it may mean working with the foster dog separately. And if you don't have, if she doesn't have good command or good skills when it comes to following your lead, when it's down, sit, come, then you need to work on that privately without the other dog around. And that should be something she should master. You know, and it's not necessarily, we say a command, but that kind of makes it sound like, you know, we're do this, do that. We want her to listen to you and for her to learn to be calm and you will get good things. And that may be something when the other dog comes around, if she's behaving calmly. If she's got her ears back and she's growling, you don't want to reward her. You don't want to say good girl. So it's more than just allowing the other dog nearby. You want to make sure she's behaving in an appropriate way.
Wow.
So I know that's hard. So you may need to, you know, work with a lot of times with these problems with aggression, you need to work with a trainer or with an assistant, somebody else who can help you, because working with two dogs in an aggression situation can be tough. You need to make sure you keep control of the aggressor, and then someone may need to help keep the blind and hearing impaired dog under physical control, just so they don't get into a situation. So
okay. Well, I'm going to try that, like, tonight, because she's sitting next to me with the muzzle on now.
Oh, okay.
And I know she's unhappy, but that's the only way I know to keep her safe.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and dogs don't have to be unhappy wearing a muzzle. You can train a dog to wear a muzzle and have it be a positive thing. So it just takes time. So if you just throw a muzzle on, yes, it can be seen as a sense of punishment. But if you put peanut butter on it and they get used to it, then it becomes their own. So it doesn't have to be something, a tool that is a punishment. So don't think of it that way, or you're going to approach the situation in the wrong way.
Right,
in your mindset.
It'll rub off on
exactly. Yep. 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 Think positively.
Okay.
Well, good luck with things.
Thanks for your call, Moika.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. That's 802-341-4532.
Hi, this is Judith Chapman from Young and the Restless at CBS, and I'm on Animal Radio right now, and I'm asking everyone out there to please spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Well, you found us. It's Animal Radio. This is where we celebrate the connection with our pets. So grab them, bring them around the radio. They love Animal Radio too. Just a little side note there. Yeah, watch. They'll be listening to the radio just as intently as you, and they may even have some questions that they hope you'll ask.
That's only because you use that squeaky thing, that whistle that only the dogs can hear.
Yeah, a lot of time in the background we have the dog whistle. In fact, here it is. Yeah. Basically, no
nothing.
One can't hear that. But here's something that we can all hear.
There you go.
See, they're looking up at the radio right now, aren't they? If you have a question for them on their behalf, like they're not feeling well and they want you to call in and ask a question, it's toll-free from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. A lot of ways to get your questions answered. And your answer is questioned. No, we never question our answers here. Dr. Debbie is even our veterinarian. She takes care. You've been on the show now for, I would say, a decade it's been, at least.
I think at least, yeah. I'm starting to feel a little bit older now. We're having so many anniversaries here.
And how many times were you wrong ever answering any questions?
Oh, I'm wrong. I'm like anybody else. I make mistakes, but, you know, veterinary practice is practice. You know, every day we learn something new. So I kind of modify my recommendations as we go. And I've certainly learned a lot along some of the topics of today's show of, you know, selecting breeds that have, you know, the right personality. So
yeah,
that's something that I've done some mistakes in the past and, you know, I'm trying to learn and get better with that.
Now, if you made those mistakes, listen up. In a few minutes, Kim Brophy will be joining us. She's written a book called Meet Your Dog, and it tells you a little bit about the different breeds that are available. So this is really important. Before you go out and get an animal, you should know what kind of breed you're going to get, what kind of, especially if it's a dog, what kind of breed dog, because some dogs might require high activity levels or some may just be couch potatoes. And depending on what you do, you know, if you sit around watching TV all day, let me just first say, get a job like the rest of us. Okay. But if you like to take a lot of walks, there are dogs that like to get that kind of activity, that need that stimulation. So she'll tell us all about that coming up in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. And also, before the show is over, if you're a big fan of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and we all watched that as a kid, Peter Gross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the co-hosts now of the web series of a company that we would have never have known about, Mutual of Omaha. No one would have ever have known about this insurance company unless this wonderful program came out so long ago. It was a mid to late 60s.
Yeah,
I think
there
was
sure
a revival
exactly
in the 80s, and now there's this web series. And Peter Gross will be joining us from that. I'm going to ask him what kind of harrowing experiences he found himself in, because I'm sure you do.
Oh, and that kind of job you do.
Yeah.
How awesome, though.
Yeah, you should have to pay to do that job.
You really should. It's such a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't really call this a job. We get to talk about animals. That's our passion. We get to bring our animals to work, too, which is pretty cool. Aside from your calls, we'll be doing a quick check of the news in just a few minutes with Miss Lori Brooks, our news director, or as Judy calls her, our news gal. What do you like better, news director or gal?
Oh, I'm not a gal.
Don't like that term.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the Nikki Haley school. Yeah. I got to tell you this weird story I'm going to share with you.
Okay.
Man, it is just one of the most bizarre stories from the animal world that I have come across in years. So I will give you the synopsis of it. You get it in a nutshell after I read the article.
You're too damn good to us.
I try.
Hey Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
Very good. What can we do for you?
I have an older cat, about 17 years old, has cataracts, and he's like, now I can see like he can't hear too well. It's anything suggest as far as, you know, let him live his life out like that, or is that operation for the cataracts affordable? Or
now, did you say he's 17 years of age?
Yeah, he's about 17, 16,
holy
and 8, pretty old, but he's pretty spry.
Okay. Well, that's a phenomenal lifespan for a kitty at
right.
17. So
right.
Kudos to you.
Thank you.
You know, and I guess for cataracts in cats, there can be some confusion because cataracts aren't as common in cats as we see them in dogs. They can, especially over the age of 12 or 13, they can get what we call lenticular sclerosis, which is kind of a white change in the lens of the eye. It's not really a true cataract. So
okay.
It might just be important to make sure we get that properly diagnosed and have a vet look at those to see if, in fact, it is cataracts.
Okay.
I guess my next thing would be is, in my eyes, I don't think it's going to matter because I think in a 17-year-old cat, the last thing I do
right.
is consider cataract surgery.
Right,
7-year-old, 10-year-old, you know, we might talk about things like that. But with cats, cataracts, in the true sense of the form, it's usually as a result of some other problem going on in the eye. So we tend to look for causes of problems, what we call uveitis, infections and so forth, and trauma to the eye. So my
right.
hope and my best guess is going to be that your kitty has this more of this aging change in the eye, which isn't really a true cataract. And if that's the case,
okay.
we don't do anything. We just
right.
make sure we make accommodations. Sometimes
right.
dark areas yep. could be a little hard for them to see.
He walks into the wall every once in a while, but he doesn't hurt himself, so he's doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. And there are some, in dogs, we can see cataracts with things like diabetes. In cats, occasionally we can. So, you know, if you haven't had a regular visit or blood work, that might be something just to make sure, because that kind of condition, absolutely, we're going to want to treat. And, you know, the cataracts are kind of just tagging along for the ride on those situations.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All right, thank you very much.
Take care, Jeff.
All right.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Eric Dane on Animal Radio, reminding you to spay and neuter your pets.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
And I'm Lori Brooks. Pet obesity in the U.S. increased last year, affecting 60% of cats now and 50% of dogs. Well, that is according, anyhow, to the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention. In case you ever wondered if there really was such a group, and they did a 10th annual survey, and this is their findings, okay? Veterinarians say they are continuing to see more pets diagnosed with obesity rather than, you know, just being a couple of pounds overweight. That is not good, friends, because obesity in pets results in more secondary conditions, just like in humans, arthritis, high blood pressure, kidney disease, and certain forms of cancer can all come from being overweight. And pets with obesity also have reduced quality of life as well as shorter life expectancy. It's just the same as in humans. Now, in this survey, when asked what was the biggest challenge to exercising dogs, well, too busy was the most common answer, topping 25% of all pet owners who answered the survey. A close second, though, was behavior issues. There you have it. Hey, from the Who Would Have Ever Imagined file, I came across this really weird story on the black market trading of dead hummingbirds. And yes, you heard that right. These black market bird traders catch a hummingbird and kill it. Then it gets weird. They wrap the dead hummingbird in underwear and cover it with honey, and then they sell it on the black market to people who will then make it into a love charm, is what they call it. It's actually, the love charm is called a chuparosis. This so-called love charm is supposed to arouse passion in lovers.
So weird.
Well, that's strange. Yeah. Yes.
Now, I got to be honest with you guys. If I weren't allowed to bring my dogs here to the Animal Radio Studios, I probably would have tried to land a gig at Amazon.
Why is that?
Why? Because they're a huge company, right? They have more than 6,000 employees among their, you know, 500,000 who are registered to bring their dog to work. In fact, Amazon is so dog friendly. You walk into the building and the reception desk keeps a bucket of dog treats, not a bowl, you know, like for human peppermints or something like that. They also have a dog park on the Amazon campus.
Nice. So, nice.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. But there, you know, some other companies, large companies like Amazon, that also allow pets to go to work with their parents. And among those are Bank of America, Purina. Petco is another one of those places you can take your pet to work, as well as ice cream makers Ben and Jerry's.
No wonder there's always dog hair in my Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, that's a nasty rumor to start.
Yeah, that's horrible. I love Ben and Jerry's.
Now, the one that surprises me is Bank of America.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of
maybe
shocking.
It's their corporate office or something where they don't have people coming in and out, you know, customers. Good for them.
Yes.
I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is NASCAR driver Corey Joyce on Animal Radio, and spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It is Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And if there's at least one piece of advice that we hope you glean from the show, is that if you do go out and get a dog or a cat, that you select, and especially with a dog, you select a breed that is compatible with you. Because, well, if you select a breed just by its looks and then you find out that it's one of these really active dogs and you're just not an active person, you're going to have trouble. You're going to run into trouble. Judy, for instance, when she went out to get Ladybug, she did the research. She wanted to stay away from Jack Russell Terriers. Because why was that?
Too hyper, too much energy, too bouncy, too much for me. I'm more of a laid-back, relaxed kind of walk person. I don't do a lot of real strenuous activity.
So you got what you thought was a Chihuahua mix,
yeah,
maybe?
They said it was a Chihuahua mix, and of course it was a puppy, and I got it from a rescue. So
you didn't really know.
Didn't really
Puppies look
know.
All the same, right?
Yeah, when they're little, it's kind of hard to tell. But as she got a little bit older, I thought she really doesn't look like a Chihuahua.
And you did a DNA test, and it came back as what?
50% Jack Russell.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. And you know, she is definitely Jack Russell. She is intelligent. She is active. And, you know, again, I tried. I did my research. I tried. It just failed. But I wouldn't give her up for the world.
We have joining us Kim Brophy. She's an award-winning canine behavior consultant. And she has a brand new book called Meet Your Dog. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're going out. We're looking for a new furry family member. What should we be looking for?
Well, I think one of the things that's, I hope, very helpful about this publication is that it really gets you in the mindset of looking at the whole picture. So, you know, we think about, well, it's all how you raise them, and they're just a pet. So if we do everything right, you know, that pet dogs need, then everything should be just dandy. But the reality is we all have really different environments and lifestyles. And a dog is going to come into that environment and lifestyle with everything from their past experiences that they've had before they were with us to their particular age, sex, health development, et cetera, to the genetics that they were born with. And all of those factors can either work really well within our lifestyle conditions and relationship, or we can have a little bit of friction.
Let's talk about some of the breeds. One breed's called the Entertainer. Because I assume they're fun to watch, they're fun to play with, they're entertaining. What breeds are these?
So the Entertainer would be the bulldog category, and that's not even just the traditional English bulldog as we think about it, but all the breeds that have bulldog in their ancestry. And so, yes, if you've ever spent much time around a bulldog, you would find out very quickly that they are natural entertainers, full of personality, clownish antics, etc.
Absolutely right on.
What about if we're looking for a dog to protect us, to keep us safe, to scare off intruders?
The best group for that, at least the one that was designed for being a person, property, territory protector, would be the guardian group. Now, sometimes people want a lot more drama with a lot less follow through, in which case sometimes herding dogs and alarm barkers like terriers and stuff can actually fit the bill because they can be more reactive about intruders. But kind of the Dirty Harry of the dog world, so to speak, would be the guardian group that lets all the little stuff roll off of them but won't hesitate to step in the right set of circumstances.
What do you recommend, Kim? So, like, this is a problem I see in my practice all the time. People have, like, a childhood love of a certain breed. Say they have, you know, Shelties or they have Australian Shepherds. Mm-hmm. And then they get them as an adult and they're not in the right living situation. How do you counsel them? They've already made their decision and have to deal with the after effects of that. How do you tell them to kind of improve the environment or work on that?
So, yeah, once somebody has already made up their mind and followed through and gotten what might be the wrong dog for their current situation, I feel like the role that we should be trying to play, at least as professionals, is mediating or good, healthy reality check. Because I don't think it does anyone any service to pretend that some of those rubs and pressures aren't going to be there. So we'll tell people, this is what this animal was originally designed to do. Our ancestors painstakingly developed these kinds of behaviors. So what's not fair is to simply project motives onto the dog, call those behaviors that they were born with out of their own control bad, and then punish them. So we try to help them understand that there's sometimes genetic software and motor patterns that need to be appropriately developed in a certain manner. So for a herding dog, for instance, you can create daily games and rituals that satisfy their need to be organizers, intense micromanagers. You can teach them to herd large balls in your backyards and put them away in kids' soccer nets, things that we would think would be kind of ridiculous but might satisfy those genetic urges. So we try to help them to find appropriate ways to do that and also to be more compassionate when the dog is engaging in ways that they're not necessarily deliberately intending to.
The book is great. It's called Meet Your Dog, The Game-Changing Guide to Understanding Your Dog's Behavior. I have 10 copies to give away right now. If you don't get through, if we've given all the copies away, it's an easy book to get. You can get it over at Amazon.com. Just look up Kim Brophy, the author, Meet Your Dog. Kim, thanks so much for telling us about the book.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
I just think that nowadays people are more aware of that and not just getting a dog just based upon its looks. I think people are more aware of their activity level and getting the appropriate dog for them.
Really?
I think it's changing. Yeah. You don't?
I wish.
Oh, really?
I see it every day. I really do. I see folks that are maybe 70, 80 years old getting two Labrador puppies.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, just, you know, when they come in, oh, my goodness, I know we're setting ourselves up to fail in this living situation. And unless we're setting up things for them to do, going to doggy daycare and going through formal training or having a dog walker, it breaks my heart because people, you know, they remember having these dogs when they were younger and maybe their life was different and it just doesn't always fit.
We need to put you at a Petco store, a PetSmart, one of these adoptions, and you could just sit there and watch how people get their dogs. They get them, oh, it's so cute.
So
look at the thing. It's so cute.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't really
just
think about it.
Because they think that they're cute.
So are bulldogs pretty sedentary? Or I mean, they don't require a lot of exercise, right?
It varies. You know, I'm involved with bulldog rescue as well, and I've got a friend who's fostering a bulldog now who is anything but sedentary.
Really?
We see a good amount of greyhounds in my practice. Most of them are rescues or, you know, they've gone on and from, you know, blood bank lives or, you know, the racing. But a lot of people don't realize that they are sedentary as well.
And really? I thought they, because they're runners, that they require a lot of activity.
You know, they can run fast, but they don't require a lot of activity. In fact, you know, some friends, I've had two different friends tell me they took their greyhounds out hiking, and one of them had to carry the greyhound back because it refused to move.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
This portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
It is Animal Radio. I see we have a call from Allentown on the way, from Fayetteville, North Carolina, from Los Angeles, all on the way. That's three lines. We still have one line open for you. We'll go back to the phones in just a couple of minutes. We talked last week about some of the things that might stress your animals out that you don't even know about, like the LED lights that you've replaced all throughout your house, those flashing lights, which dogs can actually see.
Wow.
They can see the flashes. As humans, we cannot see that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it's like to have a flashing light all the time, or some of the electronics that we have, especially here in the studio.
Just the sound that they can hear and we can't.
The sounds we can't hear because I guess our limit is about 20,000 kilohertz. And they might hear the noises that machines make. It might stress them out. Separation anxiety seems like a very popular anxiety.
Yeah. People know that one. Yeah.
You might know this if you're listening now and you leave your house and your dog starts whining.
Or you come back and you find all the destruction that it's done while you were gone.
And then you go over to them and you hug them and love them. And that really actually creates more problems. It's telling them that it's okay to be that way. So all of these things stress out our animals. And the most important thing is that stress can have an effect on their health. It can drive them crazy. It can drive them to be sick. And that's why we are so behind the Fear-Free program, a program that started in veterinary offices and now has extended to trainers and your home. Do you have a fear-free, happy home? You should. I'm working on it. There is now a guide for that, and it was written by a whole bunch of great people that know the industry, that know about animals. And the ringmaster, Dr. Marty Becker, he's really the father behind the movement, the fear-free movement, and he is joining us today. Hi, Doc. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
You know what? I had to just laugh at you guys talking about separation anxiety and things. I have a feeling you've had an unwanted extreme home makeover before.
Yep.
By a pet.
You too, huh?
Yeah, you know. Matter of fact, I have a new dog that's a distemper survivor, and they have a little bit greater chance to have neurologic problems. But it's gotten what was endearing, you know, the loyal little shadow that followed me everywhere, that would wait by the door after I left, you know, for an hour. And then my wife would say he waited by the door. It's actually become pathologic to where it's actually affected his health. You know, he gets so depressed when I travel that we've actually had to put him on what we call chill pills. We haven't had to go to an FDA solution yet, but got him on a brain diet and stuff to improve. And here's the thing, it's really interesting. I'm not some gifted person that always have intuited this or I researched it or had anything. My God, before my awakening I had with Karen Overall, the board of behaviorist, about what fear was doing to animals, I was stretching cats out to where their head was in. I'm only 15 miles from Montana, so their head was in Idaho and their ass was in Montana. You'd hold a dog down to get a blood sample about three times a year, and the thing would poop in your pocket, like a mid-sized dog.
Sure.
You'd go in somewhere and think, God, my feels a little warm down there, and you reach in there and there's a dog turd in your pocket. This is no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Literally scare the blank right out of them. But about 100%, literally 100% of dogs have some level of fear, anxiety, and stress.
I want to talk about the book because this is what I'm really excited about. Now there's really a comprehensive guide to the fear-free movement and how to make your home fear-free. And that's the book. It just came out. Why did you write it? I mean, it sounds like a silly question, but it's actually here on the list that I have to ask you.
No. No. You know what's interesting about that? I've written 25 books. I've sold over 8 million books. I mean, I've been blessed. And sometimes I caught a wave like Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover sold. You're riding a wave. And people loved at the time to realize there's other people out there that felt just like they did with pets. Then I've written books like Your Dog, the Owner's Manual, and Your Cat, the Owner's Manual. They're great for somebody starting out. But literally, there's 100 books I could tell you I have on my bookshelf. I'm sure you guys got a crazy selection of pet books, too. There's probably 100 books that are just as good as it for starting out with a new dog or cat. But this is the first book that's ever been done on the emotional well-being of dogs. And we have kind of a unique thing because I'm a well-known veterinarian that's, you know, kind of started this movement and I'm kind of representative of the 220-some individuals behind it. But two boarded veterinary behaviorists are co-authors and a well-known trainer. So the boarded veterinary behaviorist, most people don't even know there is such a thing. There are 75 American College of Veterinary Behaviorists that are certified. 59 of them are part of the Fear-Free Advisory Group, and two of them are co-authors. So we hitchhike on their education, their training, and their experience. And so we dissect it out. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the book yet.
I have.
It's really well done because it's like bite-sized.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like is there's pictures, there's stories, there's you can read a few pages and get some ideas and not feel like, okay, here's another page and another page and another page and another page. And I like the way it's done for kind of a modern reader.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. And you know, for me, I love pictures. I love lots of pictures. There are, and it's also just very aesthetically pleasing. It's just a well-done book. Whoever did it, I salute you to that. Whoever designed the inside.
Yeah, it's really funny to go from when I first started. You know, when I was first doing Good Morning America back, well, it would have been 22 years ago. Whoa. The segments were 8 minutes long, and then they went to 6, and then to 5, and then to 3, and then to 2. And funny with books, you know, they've changed, and we had to change with it. But I want to tell you something interesting. I was going out to the IAABC, International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants meeting. And so the book just came out. Then I'm going out to this meeting of trainers, and there was a baby crying as it got on the plane. And I noticed everybody turned, myself included, because it wasn't hysterically like spoiled crying, like you could tell upset. And so everybody looks at it and goes, oh my God, you know, hungry, gas, tired, dirty diaper. You go through the things you always know. And everybody's like, oh, you know, and can you imagine nobody caring? Like a baby goes through and everybody, you know, who cares, you know, suffer away, cry your eyes out, you know, we always want to solve it. And the point I'm trying to make, pets are the same way. They don't cry like a baby, but they show it can be vocalization. It can be a change in eating habits. It can be a change in activity or bathroom habits. It can be a lot with body language. But, you know, we need to know the signs. That's the first thing. If you got a dog that is shivering, shaking, panting, lip licking, yawning, drooling, trying to hide, those are pretty obvious. The more subtle signs are ones that avert gaze. They wrinkle their forehead. They pin their ears back. They fidget. They show the whites of their eyes. One of the ones that got me when I was practicing as a veterinarian, I always thought dogs that went into the exam room and laid down and closed their eyes like they were going to sleep were calm, that was the best it could be. And actually, it's the worst it can be. They actually have what's called collapsing immobility. So there's something called the defense cascade. And the first thing is alert. Like if we were to hear a gunshot or scream, or if a dog heard another dog in distress, or maybe heard something that had triggered that. Okay, fight or flight. And then, so alert, fight or flight. And what gets down to the end is collapsing immobility. And let me give you three examples. World War II, there's a trench of dead bodies and you're standing there with a firing squad. Why don't you run? It's because you're in collapsing immobility. You can't move. In Syria, you're in an orange jumpsuit and you hear Jihadi John behind you and a film crew. Why don't you run? And people that have been assaulted, rape or other kinds of assaults, why don't they body gives up? So a cat that's frozen or a dog that goes in and lays down with their eyes closed, that's as bad as it can possibly be.
I know there's a lot of important information in the book, but what's the most important thing you learned in writing it?
The most important thing I learned would be that every pet has some degree of fear, anxiety, and stress. And that if we take the time to parse out the triggers, like if you have a dog that's freaked out by thunderstorms, it's not okay to think it's going to die every time there's a thunderstorm, that there are solutions. There are some training solutions. There's some more natural products, what I call chill pills. There are some FDA approved products. And those of us as a veterinary community have an obligation to tell pet owners about that. And now what I do, you guys, we've known each other for a decade or two. And now instead of, you know, when I see a pet, I'll say, are there any pets at home that have behavior issues you'd like to improve upon? I'll even ask about other pets. And when you go back to these pets, fear is caused by something painful or something disturbing. So when a dog comes in a veterinary hospital, let's say it's been mauled by another dog. It got hit by a car. It ran through the woods and scratched its eye. Its ear is a fire pit. Its gums are inflamed. It's got severe arthritis. That causes fear just by pain. And so when they come in, probably if I'm getting down to what I learned the most, a dog is similar to a one-year-old child. Do either of you have grandchildren?
Oh, yeah.
Or nephews,
yes.
Or nieces? Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, just take a one-year-old. You can't explain to them, if you go to the doctor with them, listen, we're getting this blood sample, but we're going to test your kidneys, and your kidneys do this, and that's causing you to drink more water, and or you've got to, they've got to need tubes in their ears. And this hurts, but we're going to do this, and they might do this minor surgery. Well, you can't explain it to them why the procedure benefits, and we're going to the doctor. The same thing with pain. They can't anticipate or expect the relief of pain, even if it's moments away. And so for that reason, we have to, you know, take, we're not going to manhandle a child and have six people hold a toddler down to do a procedure. And it's the same thing with animals. And one last thing before you run out of time and I run out of breath. One of the things I want listeners to know, this is as simple as it gets. I'm 64 years old. And until writing this book, I have not petted a dog the correct way for 62 of those 64 years. So every time I'd see a dog on the street in New York or in my hometown of Bonners Ferry or the veterinary clinic or wherever else I was, I love dogs. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. You know, what's its name? He or she. And I'd reach my hand out to and let it sniff it. And then usually pat it on top of the head. Well, all of those are wrong. Dogs don't see very well up. They see well laterally to the side and down, but not very well up. So I'm coming from a blind spot, and I'm reaching with my hand, and I had direct eye contact. So these dogs have smelled you before you even see them. They don't need to smell your hand. You need to turn sideways, avert your gaze, and crouch down if you can, if you're able to. It's getting harder at 64, and let them approach you. Who would have thought at the most simplest of thing you're actually causing fear, anxiety, and stress when you're trying to be somebody good?
I've been doing it wrong all these years until you told me about that.
Doesn't it make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense. If you get one book this decade, and I know we live in an age where, you know, books are far and few between now. It's all digital. And by the way, this book is available as a Kindle book. I'll throw that out there. But if you get one book, make it from fearful to fear-free. I have 10 copies to give away right now. But if you're not lucky enough to get through, you're going to want to go over to Amazon.com or your local bookstore and ask for this. It's called From Fearful to Fear-Free. Dr. Marty Becker is the author, along with several great and very well-known behaviorists. It's the book that will help you get along with your animal, and it has the power to change their life and your life. I mean, that's really what it is. It's going to make
you're not overstretching. I'm telling you, I've never been part of something that I felt stronger about the emotional well-being of animals. And you know, I want to say, Hal and Judy, thank you for the support you've given back for probably 8 or 9 years on this concept. And so it's not like you're here talking about a book that's out every step of the way. So we so appreciate you at Animal Radio. Thank you.
Of course, check out fearfreepets.com and fearfreehappyhomes.com. And of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. Dr. Marty Becker, thank you so much for joining us again. And thank you so much for what you're doing for our animals.
Thank you, friends. Blessings.
This portion of Animal Radio was underwritten by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
If you are over, I'm going to say maybe 40 years old, maybe 45 years old, you might remember a show that was on Sunday nights on, I don't really remember what network, but it was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Oh, yes, I do.
With this gray-haired gentleman named, Marlon Perkins?
Marlon Perkins.
And his monkey.
And his
yes.
monkey.
Yes.
I grew up thinking I really wanted to be this guy.
You wanted a monkey.
I wanted to. Oh, yeah. And I wanted to visit with all these animals. Today, we're going to be visiting with Peter Gross. He's a wildlife expert and a longtime co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. He's going to tell us about some of the experiences and shows that he recorded with harrowing animals like snakes and giraffes. Apparently, he was thrown in the air 11 feet by a giraffe.
Lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
So he's going to be joining us in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Stick around for that. I also think he's a dog owner. We'll find out what kind of dog does this kind of guy have.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Unusual, yeah. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Lori, what are you working on over there in the newsroom?
Well, I have another airline to tell you about who is joining the list of those airlines that are changing their policies about pets flying in the cabin. And a really sweet 17-year-old dog that is now an honorary hero.
That's on the way. Let's hit the phones right now. We go to Jane. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, listening on WEEU. Thank you so much for doing that. I have the whole team here. What's going on with you?
Well, my Chihuahua, she's 12 years old. She's a little bit overweight. She's definitely having a problem with a collapsing trachea. Oh. I looked at some pictures on YouTube. We've been to the vet about this before, and it's not something that happens all the time, but when she gets excited, she'll definitely have an attack. Once in a while, she'll wake up during the night and have an attack. She doesn't do it when I'm walking her around the block, and my question is how can we treat it? Is there something natural? Of course, like everybody, we go on the internet and we Google it and see. And I understand that weight control is very important. They also said that maybe you could give the dog some glucosamine, that would help strengthen the trachea. And I'm just wondering if there's anything else that we can do to kind of help her and make sure that she's comfortable.
Okay, well, great questions. Now, the first thing I will like to say is that, yes, collapsing tracheas are very common in small breeds like the Chihuahua, particularly toy breeds. If you can hold them in your lap, that's kind of a coughing dog. I always think of that. But I always, especially in an older dog that's coughing, I would like to have chest x-rays because there are situations where we can presume that we have a collapsing trachea and it actually can be a heart problem. And that is a dreadful mistake to make. So make sure that you do consult with your veterinarian, that we've extinguished that possibility and that we are dealing with a collapsing trachea. And usually we can find a collapsing trachea pretty effectively on an x-ray. Sometimes we've got to time it just right, but we can definitely see that. So the things we do for a pet with collapsing trachea, and you raised number one on my list. It's the cheapest thing you can do to help minimize signs of coughing if your pet has a collapsing trachea, and that is weight loss. We know that the extra weight of an obese pet does a couple things. One, it increases the body mass, which makes the pet have more difficulty breathing and moving around, but it decreases the lung space. So basically that kind of fat in the abdomen compresses the lungs and doesn't allow them to really ventilate well. So that makes them more likely to have some breathing issues. So that is the cheapest thing you could do, is to get some weight off your baby to help minimize things. I would say there's not really a lot of holistic or over-the-counter things that I will recommend for a dog with collapsing trachea outside of purifying the air, or using things to help eliminate pollens in the environment, decreasing dust, stuff like that. Only because those can also exacerbate other respiratory problems. So glucosamine really doesn't help. So the problem we see with the airway in a collapsing trachea is that about 3/4 of a dog's trachea is solid. It's like a cartilage ring. It's really firm. And then that upper part is a membrane. With a collapsing trachea, what happens is that membrane part kind of gives way and sucks into the middle of the airway like a straw. If you suck on it too hard in that milkshake, you can't get anything through. And that's the same thing that happens with a dog with a collapsing trachea. They just can't get enough air. So then they have to breathe harder. And then they put more and more force on their efforts when they're breathing. With time, that causes breakdown in cartilage in the airway. So it basically causes the kind of a collapse in weakness weakening. And that's not something that glucosamine is going to help with. So you want to try to minimize the coughing and the difficulty breathing so we don't get to that point. Because once that happens and we have main airway collapse, we're really in a very serious situation. There's not a lot we can do to help those pets. So in the earlier stages, we want to do cough suppression. So that may mean using a cough suppressant with your veterinary direction on that. Some dogs, I will use bronchodilators. Theophylline is one that can help to kind of make it easier to open the small airways in the deep part of the lungs so that we don't have to use as much effort. And there are certainly some dogs where collapsing tracheas are bad enough and the pet can actually have enough crises, meaning they can go into like a respiratory arrest because they can't get enough air. So those are an emergency situation, and dogs that start to have those kind of level of problems, there's actually surgery that can be done where we put stents, kind of a support mechanism inside the airway to kind of help it from collapsing. So that's kind of the whole kind of scheme and the gamut of things. But depending on where your pet fits, I would say the most kind of early line therapy is weight loss, cough suppression, making sure we do some things that are friendly for a pet that has a easy cough trigger, as I call it. So we try not to use neck leashes. We use more of a body harness because that takes that tickle off.
I did buy her a harness. The only other thing is this dog seems to have a voracious appetite. She would eat all day. Now, I give her lots of vegetables. She has pumpkin. She has iceberg lettuce. She has carrots. But she would eat all day long. She's always hungry. Sometimes she even walks in front of the refrigerator and will start whining. I mean, it's amazing. Aww. And she's only, well, she's 13 pounds, but she's a solid Chihuahua. You know, she's not one of those really petite ones. She's kind of solid.
Okay.
I guess, well, maybe, I mean, my vet has said, yes, she could lose a little weight, which we know that, and boy, have we been trying. She's basically been stable between 12.5, and then she gets to 13.5, and then I really watch her diet. I would imagine that diet control is the best, but I don't know how to divert her.
Well, you know what? You have a dog that has a love of eating, so I would say let's make eating more challenging and more fun. So, you know, if she thinks about it, she's kind of like me sitting around the house. I'm like, oh, I'm working on bills. Where's those potato chips? I'm looking for something to nibble on because that's all I can think about. So let's give her something else to think about, giving her activities. Now, we don't want to do anything too athletic if she has a easy cough trigger. So we might be doing things like instead of putting her food in a bowl, we're going to put it in food puzzles and make her kind of push those things around. You can do inexpensive boxes and cut little holes in where she has to kind of work a little bit to get in the box to get her food. But there's a lot of different things like that that you can do and make mealtime a little bit more work for her.
Because she gulps. I mean, it's amazing. Before I even have the dish on the floor, she's jumping all over the place. I mean, if somebody had a camera and saw this, they just wouldn't believe it. They would think that we were starving her.
I know. It's the drama sometimes that dogs can do just to make us feel guilty. It is an amazing survival mechanism. And that's why dogs have domesticated so easily at our sides, is because they know how to kind of work us and they know how to manipulate us. So it's what they do best. I would say, you know, let's try to get your doggy moving around a little bit more. And just because she asks for food does not mean she needs to get it. So sometimes that may mean removing yourself from the equation. If she's begging and being obnoxious and you know she's just 8, you know what? If she's not able to go for a walk, you know, certainly try taking her for a walk if she can tolerate that. But if not, you go for a walk. Leave the house. You don't have to sit there and be victim to being bullied to feed your dog. I tell this to my relatives because they say, oh, but he asked for food. He's barking at us. Well, I don't care. Go shopping. You don't have to listen to that.
Well, you know, I used to work. I'm not working anymore. And when I worked, it was easy. You just shut the door and that's it. And they just wait. Well, now that I'm home, as a matter of fact, she's right here. And she was just whining like she wants food. I mean, it's amazing. Now, of course, she hasn't had anything for a while, but she is a little manipulative little puppy, but we love her anyway.
Yes, absolutely. Well, maybe that whining means that she needs to be brushed, or that she, you know, wants to go for a walk or to go play with a toy. So we can interpret there might be other kind of objectives. And if she's talking and all we do is always feed her, then she's going to always bark and ask to be fed.
Yes, so, that's a very good point.
Work on your changed behavior patterns.
I need behavior modification, perhaps.
Don't we all?
Jane, thank you so much for your call today. How do you tell the difference between a collapsing trachea and that reverse sneeze that few people know about?
Well, sometimes it can actually sound somewhat similar because they both kind of have spasms of a sound. The reverse sneezing is actually more, instead of it's not a sneeze on the exhale, it's on the inhale. So it's kind of like what I describe as a reverberating sound. Kind of like that kind of sound. Whereas a cough, a collapsing trachea will be more of a cough, but it could be a... So you can see how there's a little bit of quality of both there, but in video for me helps a lot in kind of seeing what a dog is doing. Oh. So does that help?
You need to see the video. We just took a view doing that.
Yes. Okay. Let's post that video on YouTube.
We caught up with Dr. John Howe, certified aquatic veterinarian at the American Veterinary Medical Association convention in Denver. Dr. Howe does surgery on fish.
We take them out of the water, we put them in a bath that has the anesthetic in it, and we set them on a form so they're laying in the position we want them to, and we run a tube with water being pumped out of the anesthetic water into their mouth, flowing over the gills, so that keeps them anesthetized.
There's more at avma.org. That's avma.org.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
Admit it. You love your dog, and he is part of the family. So, when choosing your next vacation, don't forget Fido. With just a little planning, the entire family can enjoy a road trip. To find the best vacation spot for Spot, subscribe to Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog, where each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, where both you and Fido are welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and find out what all the barking's about.
Hi, this is Elaine Hendricks on Animal Radio. Please, adopt a pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
If you grew up watching Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom like most of us did, because it actually had a long run. It ran a bunch of years in the 60s and then again in the 80s and again now in its web series. If you're one of the big fans, if it's changed your life like it changed mine, who knows if I would be involved with animals if it wasn't for that. Coming up in just a few minutes, from Wild Kingdom, co-host Peter Gross will be joining us. He's found himself in a lot of precarious situations, as you might imagine, and he'll be sharing those with us in just a few minutes. Lori, what are you working on?
I'm going to tell you about a high exotic pet, and I'm not saying like giraffes, you know, because their necks are high and they go, you know, like up into the trees. And we're talking about a stoned exotic pet and how firefighters chose to deal with him.
Really? A stone exotic pet?
Uh-oh.
Okay, that's on the way right here on it. You got to stick around for that. If you leave right now, something is seriously wrong with you.
I got a recording of Animal Radio now.
Hey, how are you doing? Who's this?
Hello.
Hey,
this is Rainey Hoffman.
Hey, Rainey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's going on in your world?
Well, I'm having problems with two cats that, as they got older, they stopped grooming their back ends, and they're getting mats.
Ooh, and what kind of cats are they?
Just domestic short hair, alley cats.
So they're short-haired cats, and they shed like crazy, correct? And they're building up matting because the shedding isn't coming out.
Yes.
Okay, there's actually a couple of things that you could do. Number one, I'm sure that you don't want to bathe your cats in your house because sometimes that could be a project if you're trying to do it at home. So here's my recommendation. First thing I would do is I would go out to the local pet store and I would purchase some waterless shampoo that's good for cats. Most of them are, but I would still just check the label anyway, because there are a couple out there that may be a little bit harsh that you wouldn't want to use on your cat. And there are some out there that are just made entirely for cats. The next thing you're going to look for is you're going to look for a comb. And it's a specific comb. It's called a Greyhound comb. Now, the reason why I say Greyhound comb, there's a lot of combs on the market, but the way that this comb is particularly made and the coating on it, what happens when you get the cheaper combs, the coating starts to come off. So when you try to comb through the cat or the dog, it catches the hair, and it's not very comfortable for them. So after a while, and especially with a cat, you want them to be as comfortable as possible so the skill saw doesn't turn on and turn around and get you. Okay, and that's the teeth and the claws that I'm talking about. So what I would do is get the Greyhound comb. Now, depending on how severe the matting is, okay, if it's very severe, what you're going to do is you're going to use just the corner of one tooth, and you're going to work out that knot little by little, okay? And it'll come out pretty gently. You don't want to go in there and rake it out and rip it out. You want to just go in with the corner of the comb and get it out little by little. Once you get the severe matting out, then what I would do is I would take the waterless shampoo, I would spray the pet, towel dry her, take the narrow end of the comb, because it's going to have a wide end and it's going to have a narrow end, and comb through the cat completely. And you're going to notice, because the cat's a little bit damp as well, it's going to almost mimic what a cat would do with their tongue as far as cleaning, getting it wet and that loose hair coming out. It's going to kind of mimic that, and it's also going to clean the cat as well. So not only will the cat feel better, the cat will look better and smell better, but you're not going to have problems with the matting at all. Once you get it out, you don't have to do this more than once, twice a month, and it should be fine. You could do it more if you want. The more that you do it, the less hair that you'll have on your floors and your furniture. It depends on, you know, how often that the kitty lets you. If the kitty is a little bit feisty, you may need two people. You may need someone to, scruff the cat, you know, hold her by the back of the neck. Not real hard, but just enough where you're able to control the cat's head and, control where she's trying to bite or claw at you.
Okay.
But the main thing is that waterless product in a comb is going to make such a difference, and it's going to make the cat feel a lot better too. Because older cats, when they get older and they get tired, you know what, it's not that they don't want to clean themselves and feel good. It's just that, you know, it's like everything else, just gets a little bit overwhelming, and they'd rather just lay around and say, okay, this might not be as important as I think it is.
Hey, that's not just the cats. I do that too. I'm just going to.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
okay. Good luck with that, Rainey. Thanks for your call today, toll-free at 1-866-405-8405. If it ever gets so bad that they're so matted, do you ever recommend just, like, getting that line cut and starting from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do worse than a lion cut. Sometimes it's a complete shave down where there's only hair on the head and a little bit on the tail. But usually on a short-haired cat, it comes out. You just got to be patient with it. And to be very honest with you, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that their cat loves to be clipped down. But, you know, honestly, I don't know how many cats would rather I think most cats would rather have their coat. Well, I shouldn't say coat, because dogs have coat. Would rather have their fur than not.
Yeah.
So on a short-haired cat, you can get it out. On a long-haired cat, you know what, sometimes you got to start over, and yep. it's more humane cutting it down and getting off. The only thing that a lot of people don't realize is the cat, and even with a dog, when they're naked,
they're cold.
They know something is wrong, they just don't know what it is. And then all of a sudden you have the family pointing and laughing, and they actually build a complex where they'll hide for a couple of days. So we tell people, you know what, if you know that's going to be the situation, you got kids at home or you just got a shy cat, go out and get it, you know, a little t-shirt or something, so they feel like that they're not naked. And that, believe it or not, helps.
That's actually great advice there.
I know.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Ross on Animal Radio. Please remember to spay and neuter your pets.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. 802-341-4532. That's 802-341-4532.
Hey, this is Josh DeMel on Animal Radio. Please adopt a pet.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. A deaf and partially blind senior dog has been bestowed with a brand new title. That would be the title of Hero. Max is a 17-year-old blue heeler from Queensland, Australia, and he's getting really high praise after spending more than 15 hours in the rugged Australian terrain out in the rain with a lost 3-year-old girl who had been reported missing on a recent Friday afternoon. Well, by the next morning, more than 100 emergency service volunteers, police, and others were out there searching for the little girl. Her name was Aurora. And then later on that Saturday, the day after the girl's disappearance, her grandmother said that she had heard the little girl's voice from her mountaintop home where she was. So she headed toward what she thought was her granddaughter's voice. She then found Max, the 17-year-old dog, who had been sitting on a trail waiting for her, led her to her granddaughter, who was found more than a mile away from her home where she should have been. But since that incident, Max has been given the title of honorary police dog from his local police department for this heroic act. I had so many people send me that story and share the story. It was
It's just a
like,
great story.
Lori will love this story. Yeah. It is. I loved it. Airlines and their pet policies are back in the news again. They probably will be for quite a while now. But now it's Alaska Airlines announcing it is making policy changes for those passengers who fly with emotional support and psychiatric service animals. They say starting May 1st, the airline, Alaska Airlines, will be requiring passengers traveling with those types of animals to provide health and behavioral documents, and they must be signed by a medical doctor or a mental health professional. And all of the required forms will have to be submitted at least 48 hours before departure. Right now, at least 150 emotional support and psychiatric service animals travel on Alaska Airlines planes every day. A spokesman for the airline says the changes are being made because of an increasing number of incidents where they call it inappropriate behavior of emotional support animals has impacted and even injured some of their employees and other service animals and passengers too. But besides Alaska, both Delta and United Airlines have adopted similar requirements, and those went into effect March 1st. But, of course, the policy changes do not apply to those more traditional service animals, such as guide dogs for the blind. Firefighters in Wayne Township, Indiana, at station number 82. I bet those guys are still laughing about a recent visit they had from this frantic woman who showed up at their fire station house early one morning with her pet raccoon, who the raccoon was stoned. I imagine the owner was too, but they didn't go into great detail on that. But the owner thought the raccoon was overdosing after it had gotten into somebody's stash of heroin. Pretty amazing. Yeah, they're lucky that the raccoon lived, but we're not even really sure about that. Firefighters said that they sent the raccoon home to sleep it off and just hope that it would be okay, but said they don't have any further updates on the animal.
I have to mention that I heard this story early in the week, and I went to acquire some of the 911 audio tape or some of the communications audio tape for this, and I'd like to play it for you if that's okay. This,
oh, great.
Yeah. It says it's a little cut up, but I think you'll get the idea. Here it is.
Apparently they have a pet raccoon that got into their mess.
Through Speedway doesn't have anything, but Fire did call across the hall and say that it was a raccoon that overdosed on somebody's heroin.
I'm sitting at one of the Speedway firehouses. No pet raccoons are overdosing here.
Well, if they show up, you Narcan.
Way too weird. I'm leaving.
10-4.
Oh, my.
He wasn't going to deal with any raccoons that were on meth.
I guess maybe because of the whole Narcan situation, they thought that by going to a firehouse, they might get that care. But, you know, I'd have to say, a raccoon on heroin scares the pants off of me. I don't believe in the firemen.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with it.
Darn unpredictable.
Would Narcan help an animal on heroin? Overdose?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we use that as a reversal for opioid overdosage. I can't say this kind of thing happens a lot in veterinary medicine, but it certainly can when pets get into illicit drugs that are that kind
That's
of quantity.
Good to know.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And as a youngster growing up, I watched a lot of TV. My parents would plop me down right in front of the black and white TV. And I would watch Captain Kangaroo. That was big. Mr. Rogers was big for me. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing.
Okay.
Mr. Rogers.
But one of the most influential programs for me was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Remember
I
that?
I love
with
that
Marlon
show.
Perkins.
Yes,
Marlon Sunday.
Yep. Yes.
Sunday, I think Sunday it was like at like Disney. Yes, right after Disney. Yep, absolutely.
We're all excited, Hal.
Well, of course we are. I always wanted to be a host on that show or something like that. Travel the world and see all these animals. And unfortunately, my aptitude just didn't provide me the wherewithal to have that kind of job. But Peter Gross, he is co-host of Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, which is now, I believe, a web series. And he joins us. How are you doing?
I am well. Nice to talk to you.
Set the scene. Where are you? Are there animals all around you right now?
French bulldog sitting behind me right now, but that's about as wild as it gets.
We'll take it.
Well, you have a great job to be able to visit with all these different animals, and I understand that there are some stories that you want to share with us. The one that really intrigued me that I heard about was this 12-foot python that you ended up chasing through a Manhattan hotel, and I got to figure out what is the story behind that?
Well, it was a python that I had in my room at the Waldorf that we were going to be on the, back then it was the Regis and Kathy Lee show. And when they're that large, sometimes when they're about to shed, their eyes turn blue and they really can't see that much because they're going to shed all their skin off. So I put him in a nice lukewarm bathtub of water where it would accelerate the shedding and he'd be very comfortable.
Sure.
And I couldn't leave the room, so I ordered some room service. And I was kind of busy on the phone and opened the door and they came and I just set it on the bed and I signed it. And do you know how sometime the latch will sort of eke its way open on the door when it didn't latch perfectly?
Sure.
Uh-oh. Well, between the door and this poor young gentleman who had brought my food up, was this python laying there looking at him, who'd come out of the tub and kind of gleaming and soaking wet. And he went out of there, hit the elevator down the hall, and within 10 minutes, I had a call saying, Mr. Gross, this hotel does not allow pets. So it's a bit now, it's after midnight. Try to get a room in Manhattan with six animals that are going to be on a national television show. We're talking about wildlife conservation and education and want people to sort of connect with them, see them up close and become concerned about them. So the concierge was nice enough to shop around and find one that, quote, took pets. And it was a much older hotel, and I was happy to have any place to stay. And I must say, this place came with its own pets. It was a sleepless night.
Oh, I would imagine. When you were a youngster, did you watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and Marlon Perkins like I did?
I did. growing up, that was the Sunday afternoon half hour show that I was allowed to watch, and it just amazed me that Marlon and Jim were out there in these countries filming in these remote places, and I was sitting there watching it in my living room.
And did you know at that time that you would be involved?
I didn't. I didn't. I was involved with later on in life after going to school, learning about animal husbandry and training. I had a lot to do with designing free-roaming animal displays, which was really what I enjoyed to do the most, where we would turn the animals loose on islands and sort of cage the people in these 30-person Colorado river rafts, which I always got a kick out of, the animals roaming free, watching the people go by in cages.
What would you say is the most harrowing experience you've had with an animal, something that you didn't expect maybe went wrong?
Well, it's usually not the animals that are a problem. It's usually the equipment. We were filming a grizzly bear show in Alaska from helicopter, and there are these large Sitka spruce trees that are so close together that the helicopter can't land. So they lower you down on a 100-foot rope, put your foot in a loop, and you slide down. And just as I was stepping out on the skid, a gust of wind hit it and blew me off into a tree.
Mm.
And a branch went up and scratched me up a little bit. And they medevaced me into Fairbanks. And we had some few stitches in the right places alongside my nose. And that was quite an experience.
I bet it was. We are with Mutual of Omaha's Peter Gross. We're going to take a quick break. More harrowing experiences on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hello, I'm David Bellamy, the Bellamy Brothers, and we're on Animal Radio. Love your animals.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Dogs or cats? Horse or emu, animals are people too.
Sniffer dogs trained in Ireland are now sniffing out black market bootleg DVDs. Illegal DVDs are a multi-million dollar industry, often being sold online or on street corners. Recently, the dogs visited Malaysia, where they found $1.7 million worth of illegal DVDs. The dogs are able to detect the plastics used in the DVDs, and they're trained to calmly stare in the direction of the plastic smell. Afterwards, they're rewarded with their favorite toy. The dogs seem to love their work, and hopefully all this hard work will be reflected in lower popcorn prices at the movies. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom is presented by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
It's Animal Radio, and we are with Peter Gross from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and we're talking about some of the precarious situations Peter's been put in. And now I want to know about the most harrowing experience you've had with an animal.
In terms of animals, I think the most exhilarating was we were rafting the Zambezi River on the border of Zambia and Zimbabwe, and we capsized several times in these Class 5 waterfalls that they call Valley of the Giants, and one of the local guides turned to us and casually said, you need to get back in the boat much faster because those eddies over there are where the crocodiles lay and wait for their food to come by. So we were a lot more attentive to that.
I got to think your life insurance premium is sky high.
It was virtually impossible to get. I think they wanted to rate me the same as a crop duster.
A crop duster? Wow. I would think even more risky than
that.
Yeah,
definitely.
So what animals have you not seen that's on your bucket list?
Well, I've been fortunate to travel to most of the continents. I have yet to spend, I'd like to spend more time in the Amazon basin. I've gone down there a number of times, and I've taken, actually took a group of seventh graders down. We took 39 seventh graders and did a cross-cultural exchange living with the Yagua Indians and Ribianos people in the rainforest. And we did the impossible. We came back with all 39 seventh graders.
Oh, that's good.
So I'd like to spend more time there.
Judy was saying that's just dangerous taking the kids.
Yeah, that's more dangerous than the animals.
It is indeed. If you're a parent of a teenager or a teacher that's worked with seventh graders, you understand. Indeed it is.
So what are you doing now? There's a web series. Are you involved with that? What's on the horizon for you?
Mutual of Omaha is still running. You can get to the older shows on the website, and then the web series is running. What I'm enjoying doing now is visiting universities and performing arts centers and schools and seniors and science homes and corporate lectures, talking about my experiences throughout the world and the optimism that I've noticed with the progress we're making.
Do you still travel and show animals?
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be in North Carolina the day after tomorrow, and typically I will have someone come, a zoo, which will have Zoomobile animals or a school lecture program group. And these are generally animals that have been rescued and had to be bottle fed and become imprinted on people. And they sort of think of people as their parents, so they're very comfortable in this people environment. And they become wonderful ambassadors for their species. So it's 80 to 90 minutes of clips of filming in the wild, some of the bloopers, some of the things that happen to you when you're filming in the wild that you didn't anticipate, and then inviting young people up on the stage to meet a hissing cockroach or a legless lizard or a huge python or the world's largest owl, these hand-raised animals that are on stage, and they can see them up close and personal. And then we have a live camera feed to a huge screen so everybody really connects with wildlife.
Is this a public event?
Yes, it is.
What city?
It's going to be at Cape Fear Community College, and it's there on their website. I would think if you just enter my name and pull it up North Carolina, it should pop right up.
So if you're listening to North Carolina, this would be a great time to meet Peter and see what he's up to.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. I've always enjoyed meeting people after the shows.
I have to ask, you talk about bottle feeding, and I see where you bottle fed a 500-pound Bengal tiger.
What?
And the tiger lived in your home for 21 years with you?
Well, actually, no. When he was very young, when he had to be bottle fed, he was part of a large litter, and the mother couldn't take care of them all. So after they got the necessary colostrum, then I bottle raised them when they were just up to a few months old. So, but we had a special room where they could become imprinted on me until they got strong and healthy, and then go back and be with other tigers.
Did you say you have a bulldog now?
Yes, little French bulldog. He's sitting in the back seat right now. We're on our way up to beautiful Cleelum in the mountains, which is green and still full of snow and lush this time of year. It's spectacular.
That sounds wonderful. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
I've enjoyed talking to both of you.
Thank you so much. Take care. Peter Gross joining us. If you want to learn more about Peter, you can head to our website at animalradio.pet. We'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. Okay, it's time for us to get on out of here and go walk our dogs or ferrets or flamingos. I encourage you to do the same. If you need your fix during the week, head on over to animalradio.pet or download the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. And of course, as I always say, if you have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, check out Dr. Debbie's Kindle books, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. All those links, including everything you've heard on today's show, over at animalradio.pet. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.